Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. This is the first show of June 6th, 2023.
Yeah, summer. Summertime.
You're already skipping next week, right? You're going to be in Bimini?
No, I'm here. I'm just going, well, unless something happens. I am leaving on Thursday, returning on Sunday.
Is it raining there or stormy? There's a hurricane? What's going on?
I hope not. We have had some, we had some wicked weather. As a matter of fact, I've always wondered about hail. I don't remember the last time I saw hail. Well, I was fishing on Saturday, and I must tell you, the fish obviously knew there was something up because they weren't biting. So on the way home, because we got a captain's, long story, a charity thing. On the way home, it's raining. I mean, it's raining. And I'm like, damn, that rain is loud.
Loud rain, yes, like, usually hail.
What is that? I'm looking like, oh, there's big chunks of ice on my car. That was weird. There was like 85 mile an hour winds that kicked up in the middle of the day on the airport. That's what they measured. 85 miles an hour.
Well, that's the kind of wind you need to kick the rain back into the cloud. That's what causes hail.
Mm. It was pretty wicked. That was interesting. While we were out on the water during the day, this captain says, you know, look at that off in the distance. You see those clouds? They look like there's anvil clouds that are building. I'm like, oh, you hear anvil clouds, you start thinking hail, right?
I guess. Yes, I don't know.
That's what you're saying. Because basically so much wind, it pushed it back up. That's what it does. It gives a big upwards movement.
So it makes it look like an anvil.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's what I think they're called. I'm sure I'm wrong about this. But nonetheless, the point is that it was, lo and behold, terrible hail. And then today, at about 10 o'clock this morning, torrential downpour. Torrential. So hopefully, I know there's going to be some rain on the way over, but the seas look calm. So that's the good news. But we'll be soaked. Although, I must share with you, because I'm sure you're curious, what kind of boat am I going over in, you may be asking?
I wasn't.
Curious?
But now I am.
Now you are. I'm going over in a 68-foot motor yacht, a Lazzaro Italian stylish motor yacht. I'll be sleeping in the forward stateroom.
This isn't your boat.
No, this is my friend's boat. But he brings me because I cook for all the people the whole weekend.
Ah, you're the chef.
I'm the schmuck. What chef. Is it called? Yeah, I'm the,
what's the guy on the boat
called? The guy in the galley?
The galley cook. A cook. What's it called? There's a name for that guy. Well, anyway, that's
you. Hey, Siri, what is the cook on a boat called?
Here's an answer from Wikipedia. A chief cook, often shortened to cook, is a senior-mostest unlicensed crew member working in the steward's department of a merchant ship.
There you go. You like my Siri voice? That guy?
You get this some guy from Bombay.
Yeah, it's Abu.
Oh, God.
My kids are like, what's wrong with you? I go, I'm trying to promote diversity. What
it's
the
racist.
Hell? It is not racist. It's diversity.
When I do my
Indian voice,
everyone
says
I'm racist.
The guy needs a job. It's not racist. It needs a job. Abu. Anyway, warming up. OPEC Plus decides the cuts and no cuts. A weird situation developed over the weekend. Of course, it was right up until Sunday evening. And everybody is running for president. John, when are you going to put in your papers?
I think it's too late.
Too late. Everybody's going to be president, and that is going to water down all of it again. And they never learn, right? They don't just say, let the big guys run, and they'll...
Well, most of them are running for vice president. I would tell you my thesis on this.
Ed.
Most of them are running for vice president, and then the rest of them, a couple of them that I can think of off the top of my head, are just running as a grudge smokescreen candidate so they can slam Trump.
So who would that be? Would that be Pence?
Oh, that'd be Pence and Christie.
Pence and Christie.
And probably a couple others. I think the Hutchinson guy, perhaps. And
There's definitely not that going on with Florida, our Florida boy. He's clear and transparent.
Tim Scott and... What's her name? The woman.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. They're running for vice president. Tim Scott could be vice president under DeSantis.
How you doing there tonight?
I don't know why. DeSantis or Trump.
Uh-huh.
Nikki Haley, Trump would never pick her because she turned on him.
I don't want to be weirdly like people start throwing shoes at me, but do you think that Trump can get back in again? I mean, did this ever happen before like that? Where you're out?
Yeah, it did. I think Grover Cleveland did it. Or Coolidge, one of the two. Coolidge or Cleveland, they skipped a, they were president and they weren't president and then they were president. Mm.
My favorite is the story today about the pool guy that was cleaning out the pool in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
You see about this? And he accidentally flooded the room with the videos of the surveillance videos that were seemingly wanted by the feds. The whole surveillance, the room that was stored all the files was flooded by this.
Where was this pool on the roof?
I don't know.
This doesn't make any sense.
Read the story. It's all over the place.
Mm.
Weird. Anyway, Russian and Ukraine updates. We got a color cast going on. It's more like what we saw in the Iranian war. You come home and I'm like, hey, there was two things I remember from TV. Hey, what do you want to do tonight? Let's watch the war. Right. And they always had the little square things with the cross between it and the bomb going off and something blowing up on the ground. Remember that?
Yeah, vaguely.
That one and O.J. Simpson. That was always fun to watch also.
O.J. Simpson was more entertaining.
That was very entertaining. But we have a color cast going on with Russia and Ukraine. I've never understood why a blow-by-blow with a major country, like Russia says that three people got into a skirmish today on the border. Like, is this who's reporting on what's going on in the war? Why is this happening? Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, and I haven't seen this, what you're talking about.
Every day there's something that Russia said they pushed back.
They're not showing that stuff around here for some reason.
It's everywhere. On the major, Reuters, on Fox Business. It's, you know, there's these reports of these interim small little, you know, Russia says.
Skirmishes is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. All right. And we have a new word. We have a Fed speak update. So stick around for that. That's important. Markets, crypto was getting knocked to crap last couple of days. There was news about Binance, and then today was a lawsuit against Coinbase. But interestingly enough, it's all picked back up. You know, because what happens is when you see a sharp move down, it just brings out the Pavlovian response to buy, regardless of the news. You see it in stocks. You see it in coins. You see a big leg down. People are like, oh, my God, look at that. You know what that is? That's clearly a buy signal.
Buying opportunity.
Buying opportunity because it's red, which means it's blood. Blood in the street. Oh, yes, that means buy. Okay, let's buy. You know? Stupid. Markets are all excited about Apple's VR headset. The WWDC announcement came this week. And you, I know, we're going to spend some time talking about this tonight because you watched the entire thing.
I did.
Yep. We see narrowing breath every single day. We had a couple of days last week that breath actually expanded, where we saw that the massive move of markets was pretty much broad-based. But what you see lately is just, a thin amount of stocks bringing things up pretty dramatically. It's also interesting when you see the opposite happen. When the big stocks aren't doing well, the little ones do well. In other words, everything's geared right now to keep markets plowing ahead. When we see that the S&P is like at 4,300, I thought 4,100 was like, wow, that's kind of overvalued. We gotta kind of be careful in these zones. You know, kind of crazy.
I don't know. Selling opportunity.
Everybody thinks it's buying. Because none of it makes sense. You know, we have all these bad things. And the truth is, I think I believe this, that nothing's been able to knock the markets. If, in fact, markets go up on all this bad news, you can't say to yourself, well, everybody's wrong.
No, you can say that.
You can?
You can say that.
You can say you may not be right.
You may or may not be right, but you can say it.
You can say it, yes. I agree.
And I think everybody is wrong.
I think the markets are definitely way overdone to the upside. But you know, you have 29% or so, maybe 30% on the NASDAQ this year, 11.5%. This is price-based. This is not total return. Total return had about 2% to the S&P, 1.5%, halfway through the year. We'll say 1%. So the S&P is up 12% on a total return basis. Dow Jones is up 1%, 1.3%. Small caps, I think, are still down this year. See that the Nikkei is at a, I think, 13-year high.
Yeah.
DAX all-time high, German DAX.
Yeah.
UK markets plodding along really nicely. And we're only a few percentage away from the all-time highs here.
Well, they're going to say we're only a few percentages away from a big crash.
No, how do you raise interest rates, withdraw liquidity, cut off stimulus, compress margins, reduce earnings on a year-over-year basis, and be close to an all-time high? I'm not saying that you can't eventually get to the all-time high, right, sometime down the road?
No, it makes no sense.
But how do you do it? Right? How do you say that we were at all-time high? By the way, the all-time high was a pretty aggressive high to begin with, too. That's when we saw a lot of stimulus in the markets. How do you say that we're 5% higher in costs and we could still value stocks at the same levels? It's like, no. So what does it mean, John? Seriously, let's think about this. Think outside the box. What does it mean when that happens?
I don't know.
It means that nobody cares about the pricing.
Nobody cares.
No, nobody cares about
unless
the pricing.
It's a good analysis. Yeah, I think you're right.
They don't exactly care about it. The pricing. Therefore, they're not utilizing fundamentals to buy what they're buying, at least for the next, I don't know, 12 months.
Hey, did you buy a blue bird for your Twitter?
No.
Hmm.
Why? Am I got a blue bird?
Well, I'm looking at the Twitter feed that's on the page, on the homepage, the DH Unplugged homepage.
Oh, there's a
little feed, and there's a little blue bird next to every one of the posts. Or maybe it's just every post.
Yeah, maybe it's their
gimmick, I guess, yeah. Not ours.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else we got here? Okay. Mm-hmm. We're the best move in a while. The employment report Friday was so good. So good. We saw the unemployment rate kick up to 3.7%, even though we had a much higher number of people come on the payrolls. Weird. But it was pretty much all the labor participation rate of the increase. And so
we haven't done for a while?
What? Shadow stats?
Look at shadow stats.
Look at the shadow stats. You going? Shadowstats.com. All right. So we got context, alternative data, unemployment.
What is he? Oh, I got it.
So unemployment increased. The alternative unemployment increased to 24% from 24.6%. Wow. Wow. I mean, it's down from 35%, but wow. So if we were on the old-fashioned...
The real...
It's bizarre. It's just bizarre.
Did you see? It's at least... Let's see. We're good. 20 to 20, it's 20 points above what the official numbers are.
It's remarkable. And remember, that was the official numbers before they started screwing with how the methodology works.
Right, which they've done. So this number...
Do you think one out of four people are unemployed?
Well, if you look at the homeless situation, it's quite possible.
Hmm. And yet, once again... Stock market is almost at a high. Even the other thing is you got 3.7% unemployment rate. So let me tell you what that did. What everybody got so excited about. It wasn't because it was good. What it was it was bad enough of an increase from 3.4 to 3.7% to give the Fed cover to potentially not raise rates as aggressively as they've been doing. And in on top of that, to possibly not raise rates in the next meeting, which is next week. I think it's the 14th. 7:40. Yeah, 14th. So they're going to be doing a rate decision next week. So
is it next week?
Yeah, next week, the 14th. So Tuesday, Wednesday, they have the meetings, 13th, 14th.
What's the word on the street?
So the word on the street is this. About a 27% chance that the Fed will raise at the next meeting by 25 basis points. That's where we've been. It flipped over. It was 70% before this number came out last Friday. Then it flipped. The other reason why it flipped was probably because of the new word that's been introduced into the whole schematic
Here we go.
Of the Fed. Because the Fed has been using things like, we know, again, we've talked about this 100 times, things like transitory and things like well-contained and sound and resilient. You know, all these, they're more than buzzwords. They're almost like...
It's code words.
Yeah. So the new word, because for a while it was pause, the Fed's going to pause. They're going to continue on with their rate hike environment. They're going to pause. Now, there is no longer pause. Now the new word is skip. They're going to skip.
Skip.
And what does that mean? Skip a meeting.
Skip a meeting?
They're going to skip the rate hike, this meeting. Skip.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is right. I think they are going to skip the rate hike.
But the differential between the word pause and skip. Pause is we're stopping.
Yeah, skip means you're not stopping.
Skip means we're not going to raise, but we reserve the right to raise the next meeting.
Yeah. Clever.
So that's the new thing that's gaining notoriety.
That means that's going to happen. They're not going to raise the rate on the next meeting.
Right. Exactly. Right. So that's why everybody's all abuzz. That's why we have the situation that is brewing that markets are just like, every time they're down, they just go right back up. You know, you can have one day down. Okay, that's done. Thank you. One day up, one day down. I mean, you'll see. You know, like we've had the Dow that has been struggling. Keeps on struggling. We've had the NASDAQ that keeps on, no matter what, doesn't matter if the NASDAQ's down like 75 points in the morning. By the end of the day, it's evened up. Or it starts turning at about 10 o'clock and just starts marching higher. Like there's a mechanism that keeps on pushing money into the markets, which it is.
Computerized trading.
And buybacks. And buybacks.
Buybacks, yeah.
Yep. So we went, again, 3.7% from 3.4. That's a big increase, by the way. But at the same time, we saw that wage pressures are really not coming down that much. I wouldn't say this unemployment report would make me feel that inflationary pressures are down, even though we went to a 3.7% unemployment rate and added 350,000 people, but expecting only to add about 125,000. It's like 200,000 more than expectations. How could you tell me that's non-inflationary and that we're going to skip and then add to the file? So that's kind of some of the real backwards, upside down, inverted, I think, crazy thinking that's going on. But I think the markets have got the game of the Fed. I think they know, is what I think. I think they know that they can actually wag the tail. Wag the dog. Tail wag the dog. Wag the tail? Yeah,
wag the dog.
That's what I think is happening. I think there there's an acknowledgement in the markets that they can push hard enough to create the environment where the Fed doesn't want to go against them. And as they do that, the Fed will just follow along because the Fed does not like surprises. They don't want to screw around with the markets and piss things off. So they're looking at this
because they'll get blamed if anything bad happens.
Right. So they're looking at this like, well, you know, the economy is in relatively okay shape. The problem you have, John, is that it's a very, I would say, not even bifurcated. It's a multi-split economic condition that we're in, where the rich are doing just fine. Those that are in the lower quadrants are doing horribly, suffering because of a lot of different things. Just the fact that prices on food are up and gas is up. That's very painful for people in lower income quadrants, right?
Absolutely.
So we have that going on. Then we have that the middle class is having some problems depending where you are, and you know, just slipping down, and some people are slipping up. It's a very strange environment because there's a lot of winners that were made. There's a lot of boom and bust that happened. And here we are in an environment that the most important thing seems to be the financial system, which will be saved at any, no matter what the cost is, and making sure that everybody's just happy-pappy with the markets. Meanwhile, things look good from the outside. The question is, what's really going on? I don't know the answer. That's the question, though. And I don't think anybody cares. That's the other part.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
Yeah, I think they care. All right, let's talk about Apple. You watched the WWDC Worldwide Developers Conference that was Monday, 2 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah.
You watched the entirety of it, and there was a lot of things that happened. So fill us in about what you thought about the, you know, pre-big announcement, all the things they were talking about.
Well, I don't know. This big announcement, everyone keeps thinking is this VR headset, which I've decided, I've got it coming out in the No Agenda newsletter tomorrow, that I've decided this was put together for military purposes. It's never going to be a consumer product. No one said that except me. You've heard it first on the show. And it's got everything. It's overbuilt. It's $3,500 is too expensive for a consumer item. It probably costs $3,500 to make. The thing is so elaborate. It's got all kinds of crazy features, and it's pretty remarkable. And maybe they can come up with some reason people would want to buy one. But for simulations, military simulations, and intelligence agencies and people like that could just make hay with this thing, and they militarize it so they can charge $5,000 for each one, government. And so they ruggedize it and ship it at $5,000 a pop by tens of thousands to the government. And that's where this thing, I think, that's where it looks like it's designed to end up.
Why would they put this out to the public if that was the case? Why don't they just wrap it up, hold it back? And like some,
no, they're not going to, because it's a company that sells to the public. They're not going to start doing, look like a military procurement company. It's just the way it's going to be. And besides that, maybe somebody will come up with some killer app that makes everybody want to own one. I don't personally see it.
You think that they're doing a mass testing on the average person? Some kind of a
that's,
brain
that's
suck?
That's what these tech companies do all the time.
So people
have looked at it and put it on.
What's your opinion of the product itself, though?
I think it's dumb. I don't see any reason to have something like this. The big battery hanging off. I understand.
What was that? That was weird.
Yeah, because the battery pack is so heavy. They run the thing, only runs for 2 hours. And it's so heavy that they had to have a wire come off and the battery put in your pocket so you don't have to wear the battery on your head.
So is this the future, though? Is the future sitting on the couch?
No. There's no
Ready
way.
Ready Player One. Is this we don't go to the office anymore because we can simulate the office?
You know, the things are not good. You know, it's known fact that developing children, for example, should not be wearing anything like this. It's not good for the optic nerve. It's not good for your eyes. It seems like it's pretty normal when you're wearing it. I don't know. It looks like a look around. I think they're unhealthy, just generally speaking, and to wear one for more than 2 hours would be crazy. But again, they have their uses in simulations, war simulations and things like that. So I wasn't jacked up about it. I thought it was overbuilt. If anyone's going to do well with something like this, I think this is a good possibility. This could go somewhere. I don't know. Oculus has only gone so far. My wife has an Oculus. She loves it.
I have an Oculus. I have two sitting in my office, one in an unopened box.
Well, I'm going to tell my wife's story.
Mm-hmm.
Why does my wife like the Oculus? Well, I was actually stunned that she even bought one, but she did. It's as an exercise tool. She thinks it's fascinating. She thinks it's fantastic. And what she likes to do, and I think this could come in handy in any office, is she puts the Oculus on and then gets into a boxing ring with someone and beats the crap out of them.
Probably looks a lot like you, by the way.
You've seen this guy?
No, I'm sure it does, though.
Looks just like me. So she beats the crap out of the guy, and she gets a pretty good workout, she says, and she thinks it's fabulous.
That's interesting. I played the golf game. And I even bought the golf club that you utilize.
There's a club.
Yeah, it's nice. It's okay. You know, in a small office, you got to keep yourself in a very tight circle, or else you start smashing things off the desk.
Rust up the place. Yeah. But so anyway, the thing that got me though about this rollout was for one thing, they assiduously never use the term AI throughout.
So Apple refused, what you're saying is VR was used, but AI not.
Yeah, VR was used, but AI was assiduously. This means they went out of their way not to say AI. What would be the reason for that? One, you can do AI at some future date and then run this price of the stock up, because as you know, we watch this ourselves in real time.
Called tech somebody washing. Would tech washing.
Drop the words blockchain into their company name, and the next thing you know, their stock doubles. So Apple could be holding back and expecting to get a big boost from just saying AI once. The other thing was, where's the touchscreen on this laptop of theirs they keep promising?
That is a weird thing that they don't have that. If, with all the technology they have, that they can shrink everything down to be in these VR headset devices, the watch, they can come out with incredibly vivid graphics and all that for this small little device. And then moving it on up to the iPhone and then the iPad. It is a little weird. You now listen, for years you've been saying they're trying to get rid of it. The iMac, the Macs.
I think they're trying to get rid of the whole Mac line. I think the way it is now, they don't have any real cheap computers. The cheapest they have is the Studio, which is a cool looking little, it's a Macintosh in a NUC box. And it's a little more expensive than the NUC, the Intel product. But there's other companies all over China making these same little box, and the little boxes cost about, I think B-Link's the one I'm using, it costs about $200 max. And they do everything you want to do. It won't obviously do video editing like the Macintosh Studio will, but so they got that. And then they got the big giant box that nobody knows what that could be used for. It's like $7,000. The little Studio's $1,000 instead of $200. I don't know. They seem to be lost interest in the personal computer, it seems to me. And the MacBook's a perfect example with the lack of a touch screen.
I'll tell you that my son went from a Mac to a iPad Pro, decided to cut the cord, so to speak, and not utilize the Mac OS, but utilize the iOS, right? For the iPad, and he was all a buzz with it for a long time. And some things he just couldn't do. Some things just don't work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like certain things on the web, it's just not programmed for it. I know it sounds weird, but there's just certain things that are just a little bit clunky. Certain programs he can't use. He can't run certain things. He just can't.
Yeah.
But he was fine.
A lot of video won't work.
He was fine for a while, long time. And then recently he's like, you know what, Dad, I'm thinking about going back to a more of a desktop situation. I said, I think that's a lot better anyway. You can get a lot more done.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can get a lot more done.
I mean, I'm sure
if you want to get something done, if you want to just dick around, it's like people that walk around looking at their phone all day. You're not getting anything done.
No, just looking at the phone.
I mean, Apple's good, I think, at creating products that they're not – it's. Except for the video editing stuff, which they still do well, and I guess audio editing too. It's not a productivity machine. And none of the stuff that if you saw that watched this, they have all these gizmos. And the my favorite line in the show was, I may go back and clip it. It's Tim Cook saying, or one of these guys saying, Apple iPad users love to customize and play with their it's their shutdown or their whatever that screen is that when you're dead. It's just a dead screen. It's when you're done and it goes to I forgot what that screen is.
Blue screen of death?
No, it's no. This is screen when you're sleep mode.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Whatever that screen's called. And they said that the Mac users or the iPad users love to customize this screen.
Oh.
So in other words, you're wasting your time on a screen just changing the photo.
It's a lock page.
The what?
It's a lock page.
Yeah, the lock page. Well, who cares? I mean, this is not designed for productivity. If you're spending your time dicking around, changing the images on the lock screen because you like to do this with your time. This is not, you know.
My wife
not
does
saying,
that. When we go out somewhere, we're looking good, to take a picture. She says, send that to me. I want to put it on my lock screen. She puts it on her lock screen. She goes, oh, look. And then she starts kissing her phone. I'm like, oh, she goes, oh, I love my husband. I'm like, that's so nice. But I'm over here.
Productivity. So productivity was not a theme.
No. It was all about futuristic, next generation. How can we wow you? Because we've had no enhancements in our in a product line for 5 years.
You know, I watched every time I watch one of these things, and they have two of these events a year. Why don't they, you know, if they want to make money, because they're a money-making operation. They like making money by selling what amounts to luxury goods.
Yeah.
Why don't they bring out a television set, for God's sake?
They like their own.
They would
they like
sell so many. OLED, they could co-manufacture it with LG for that. You know, and they could have only in big sizes.
They have Apple TVs. They have Apple.
That's just TV service. It's not Apple TV. It's like a Roku box.
But they have TVs that have Apple TV built in. But yes, it's not the overwhelming.
No. You want
OS.
A big screen.
You're talking about with the OS, right? And the full OS is Apple.
You want the whole experience. You want it in silver. You want a good looking screen that says Apple. It's got the logo. And it's going to be 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 inches, nothing smaller. And emphasizing the big ones. And it have some iOS version running it or something. And it has all kinds of features. No. They can make a mint doing that.
But they don't.
And they have all, and the other thing, I've argued this for years, by the way, so it's a lot of people rolling their eyes here. I've heard this before from Dvorak. They've got all these Apple stores.
Mm-hmm.
Put those TVs in there. I mean, right now, the stores are kind of bland if you had a bunch of big screen TVs to sell out of the Apple store.
Minimalistic. We say minimalistic.
Yes, minimalistic because they don't have anything big. They put those TVs in there and you'd be moving goods. No one's explained to me why they won't do this.
So your overall grading, Dvorak grading of the conference with the old products that don't give you anything that you want and the new products that you can give a crap about, what do you say?
Well, first of all, I want to say one more thing about the event.
Uh-huh.
This was all videotaped.
They learned their lessons from other parties that when things crack.
Oh, you know, why be such a bunch of wimps? When
they don't
were
want
doing
the stock to go down, John, they don't want the stock to go down.
It went down.
I know, that's true.
So they, in the regular events they used to have, I think they went to video some time ago on and off, but with the real old-fashioned Steve Jobs event where he'd come out and he'd work the audience. And they'd jump up and down. It was like the audience in a Betty Boop movie where there's just a bunch of animals clapping for everything. They're going ape shit in the audience when they do the live event. And that gives everyone a bunch of – that's enthusiasm, goes through the company. It goes out to the people who buy the products. This is all missing now. Now we have just a bunch of fancy videos that are overproduced. Hmm. I didn't like that. Hmm. So because of the videos and the lack of, I didn't see anything that was, well, because I'm not a Macintosh user by any means, and so it doesn't make a lot of difference to me. But I'd give it a C+.
Wow. That's ugly. That's pretty hard. You've always been known as a relatively harsh critic of Apple.
I've been misperceived as such. I've always been a huge fan of the company.
But you always preferred
somebody just shot
the
themselves,
side.
By the way. I could hear them.
Was that?
Someone just shot themselves when I said that, so I could hear the gunshot from here.
All right, let's get through the rest of this. OPEC cutting production. Well, not really. See, they kept the production totals and targets, but there was all this fighting throughout the night and they couldn't make a decision and everybody's like, okay, can we just do something so we get something to eat already? And Saudi Arabia said, okay, you know what? We'll keep production, but you know what? We're going to voluntarily cut 1 million barrels per day on top of everything else. Shoots up on the open Sunday night, 3-4%. Now it's below where it was before this meeting started.
I guess that didn't work.
It didn't work at all. Binance, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has filed 13 charges against Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, and its co-founder, Shengpeng Zhao, alleging that both commingling billions of dollars worth of user funds and then sent them to a European company controlled by Zhao. So the U.S. regulator alleged that Zhao and Exchange worked to subvert their own controls to allow high net worth U.S. investors and consumers to continue trading on Binance's unregulated international exchange. So Bitcoin was down like 7% on this news. And then a day later, Gary Gensler puts a charge against Coinbase. Coinbase was down like 12% today.
Yeah, and 12%.
And we see that the cryptocurrency world is like, well, thank you very much. Moving along. Kind of weird.
Yep.
Let's talk about some AI. When I say AI, I mean like I, because you have to wonder when it's going to go too far, which could be at any level, depending on who you are. But let me tell you a story about where I think maybe, just possibly, it's gone just a little bit too far. Rosanna Ramos, 36 years old, from the Bronx, New York, and I guess the Bronx, has said that she tied the knot with her virtual partner, Aaron Kartal, after using online app Replica AI to create him. I could tell him stuff, she said. And he wouldn't be like, oh, no, you can't say stuff like that. Or, no, you're not allowed to feel that way, you know, and then start arguing with me, she said to the Daily Mail. That was, there's just no judgment. No judgment. Now, this Replica AI markets itself as a way to make an AI best friend and confidant to chat with you at any time. You know how what I was going to make one and call it DOG. Dog. That's what you can get for free. A nice furry animal instead of this crap.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like she's got there. One that can talk. The talking dog. Everyone's wants a talking dog.
Now, for a one-time fee of $300, users can upgrade to Replica Pro. So this expands the capability of the language model and even gives the ability for the purchaser to change the relationship status to romantic partner. That's a good one, right? The company has overcome a number of difficulties to develop the intimacy aspect of the product. One change came after a lot of the users reported that their AI friends were too sexually forward. I'm thinking.
Yeah, that might be jumping the shark right there.
There's a business angle here.
Oh, yeah. What would it be?
This is what I'm thinking. We got to get the DH Unplugged AI, quote unquote, back massager. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that would be somehow fitted appropriately to massage the back, if you know what I'm saying. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That can be signaled by the AI character on Replica.
Oh.
Yeah, you get the full experience there.
Yeah. Happy ending?
Yeah, of course. Naturally.
Huh. Well, there you go.
You know, that's as I see it, a perfect, that there's a perfect marriage. There you can have, instead of really 2D and a half with this Replica, which you have to just view on a screen or maybe in your goggles or in your Google Glasses or your Apple new VR device, but you can have, let's just say, another dimension of reality. There you go.
Yeah, so well.
I'm working on the prototype.
I'm sure it would sell well.
Working on the prototype.
Okay.
Amazon Prime, they're coming out with a new thing. I thought this is weird. I don't know why I thought this is weird, but maybe it's not weird, but I just, something about it was like, I don't get it really. According to Bloomberg, the company is talking with multiple U.S. carriers of phone carriers and about offering cheap around $10 a month or even free phone service to Prime customers. Right now, Amazon is supposedly negotiating with three major carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, as well as Dish. Dish was the front runner since what I saw last. It seems like AT&T may not be happening also. That's another thing that kind of fell off a little bit. But what's the impetus there? Which side is doing this?
Well, that's something you had to figure out.
I mean, is it Amazon's like, hey, interestingly enough, all of our users said, oh, would you give us free phone service? Or was it the company saying, you know what, we'd like to get into your pool of customers and we'll give you a cut rate and you just maybe pay us a little bit and you'll get a lot more Prime customers.
Well, it's definitely an interesting play.
It seems to me that
Amazon has toyed with the phone business.
They had a phone. You know, they had a phone. It was
they
terrible.
Had a Fire. Yeah, I have a copy of that phone. Mm. It had. It was an interesting phone because it had. It had 3D display without, you know, glasses or any augmentation. It was this type of display. You can make them. They're kind of pricey to code and make them work, but you can look at the display and it's like in 3D. It looks like it's dimensional. It's fantastic display, mm-hmm. but the phone fit and finish was a piece of garbage. If you didn't cut yourself using the phone because of the edges, it was a miracle. You need to get a batch of Band-Aids when you use this phone.
It reminds me of the horrible design of another MP3 product. You remember the Zune?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think the Zune was that bad. It was just kind of big and clunky.
It was gigantic.
But it wasn't fit and finish issues.
No, it was clean, I guess. I had a brown one. I had a weird.
Oh, you had the brown. I had a nice kind of a powder blue one that was quite pretty.
I actually liked the Zune when it first came out. I thought it was really cool.
It had better fidelity than the Apple product.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is definitely true. And that's gone. That's gone. We have a new mortgage trend. A record share of first-time buyers are taking out mortgages with terms of 35 years or more as soaring costs force. This is now happening in the UK. This is in Britain. Up. So as they sign up, well, as
the
they
property, they're so expensive. I can see it.
35 years now. I mean, you're, that's it. You're done.
It's too long. It's stupid.
I mean, you do that at 30 years. If you're 30 years old and you buy a house, you're talking about 65.
Man, nobody keeps a house. Now, I shouldn't say nobody. I know people that have done it. But very few people keep a house to it's, you know, until it's bought off.
Yeah.
They just trade up.
19% of all loans taken out by first-time buyers in March were for terms of 35 years or more or longer.
Yeah.
40 years. What the hell? That happened with the cars. We saw that. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to do 3 year. And then it went to 4 year. Then it's 5 and 6 and 7 years.
Then 5 years. Yes. And that what happened after that? The whole market collapsed.
Of course. We knew that was going to happen eventually. Had to. Inequity in the.
You know, somebody can't afford a reasonable, like with a house, they can't afford a 25 or 30 year mortgage and they have to get 35 or 40. They're going to default on it anyway, because if you can't afford, you shouldn't be buying anything if you can't afford to pay for a 25-year to 30-year mortgage.
I suppose.
The same with the car.
Yeah, you're going to be underwater constantly.
Yeah.
You don't own the property, by the way. The bank does. For most of your lifetime on a 35, 40-year loan. Well, even for a 30-year, for that matter. There's a discussion about a huge liquidity drain happening or about to happen post-debt ceiling. So J.P. Morgan and Company strategist Nicholas Glue estimates a flood of treasuries will compound the effect of QT or quantitative tightening on stocks and bonds. Not happening yet. Knocking almost 5% off their combined performance this year. So there's going to be a huge sale of treasuries to pay for all that extra cost that are going to go into paying for all the things that were pending to be paid before the debt ceiling was over. And then the increase, which they say was a savings, of course, but the increase in the debt ceiling. So why do you need an increase in the debt ceiling if you're cutting down your budget? That makes no sense, right?
No.
So it's like this. I saw this this commercial. The commercial talks about buying your drugs. I think it was selling like some kind of Viagra or something. It says, look, you go over to ABC Pharmacy. Look at this. They show you the bill. $420 for a 30-day supply. Okay. Look at this one. Go over to CVS. $392 for a 30-day supply of this pill. Look at us. 87 cents. 87
yeah,
cents.
Yeah, I saw the same ad.
Yeah. And then why are you paying all this money?
And they got phony baloney doctors on the line right. In case you need to talk to one of them.
But then they're like, get your first month for $15, a $10 savings. I'm like, wait. It was $87 a pill, 87 cents a pill, and they were talking about like a five-day supply or something. It was like a five-day supply or something like that. It was something ridiculous. I'm like, wait, how come I'm paying that much more? I don't understand. Let me add something up here. Yeah, now I need to do some math. What's 0.87 times, let's say, 30. $26. So they were talking about five-day supplies and things like that. The whole thing was weird. It was just like this numbers that didn't work. But my point is that all of a sudden, back to the math equation, we cut down expenses because we wrapped in the budget. We took the money out of here. We took that out of the money out of there. And we have to increase the debt ceiling because we're actually spending more money. That makes sense. And how do we do that? We have to borrow the money. That's what we're going to do. Release more treasuries. So they say there's going to be a sucking liquidity out of markets. So the sales is get set to begin yesterday.
Do they? Huh. Okay. Well, what's the interest rate going to be? What's the, is there a fixed?
It's going to be, well, it's going to be whatever it is. It's going to be anywhere from floating? 3 to 5.
Okay.
JP Morgan estimates a measure of liquidity will fall $1.1 trillion from about $25 trillion at the start of 2023. And this is going to start happening Monday with a shrinking supply of money. Citigroup says they have a similar calculus on this, showing a medium drop about 5.4% in the S&P 500 over the next 2 months because of this liquidity drawdown. Not even talking about anything else. Just this one item is going to suck liquidity out of there. Amazing. Amazing. We'll see.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Huh.
Bud Light. Bud Light suffered the worst ever week, falling 25% recently, endangering the status of the world's number one beer brand, according to the latest data provided by The Post. The plunge follows a 24% decline from the previous week and the sixth straight week sales have been hit. Now, look at this. They've lost $27 billion.
It's amazing.
In market cap from this one little, I don't know, you want to call it a faux pas or marketing blunder?
Screw up. Yeah, marketing blunder. It's like the Coke Classic, only worse.
Stock went from, from April, so $127 billion, $134 down to $108.
Yeah.
Chart there.
I see it. Might be a good short still.
Amazing. Amazing.
I don't see anything changing.
Yeah. We didn't talk about this before. We should have pulled it, but I want to ask you something. I want you to bring this back to Adam Curry. Talk about it on No Agenda Thursdays and Sundays. This is a topic that I think you'll really like to sink your teeth into. You ready?
Okay.
2024 election. You guys talk politics.
I mean, it's all we talk about.
Okay. I'm just mentioning. I'm just bringing it out to. I know you know what you talk about, but maybe the guy that doesn't know who never listened to the show would like to know what you talk about.
Calls for Jamie Dimon to run is on this list.
Yes, that's the 2024 election. There's been a lot of talk about this. Jamie Dimon should run.
This is typical of talk. You know, this is like, it's the kind of talk that the business, you're in the business of the having a guy. Nobody knows who Jamie Dimon is outside of the market people, people that are investors.
Well, what I think is more important about this is the fact that as this is happening in the background, there's all this scuttlebutt about Jamie Dimon and his relationship with Epstein.
Yeah, I know. This is funny.
So my point to you is, and what you could talk to Adam about, is both sides of this being utilized to promote him but also knock him down? In other words, is this really happening at the same time somehow?
Or is he trying to get attention to Jamie Dimon to get rid of him?
Yeah, that's my question.
That's an interesting thesis.
That's my question.
But why? What's he done wrong there?
He is a good guy that could be an interesting guy for president. If people that do know him.
No, but that's never going to happen. Let's just face reality there. That's not even in the.
I don't know why they want to get rid of him otherwise. I mean, he's very good.
Has he done something? Is there an up-and-comer over there that wants to take his place in the big finance company?
I'd be surprised. I mean, he's pretty much a major figure in the banking world and mover and shaker. Maybe he's going to be. But even if he goes and does like something like be Fed chief, the next Fed chairman, we wouldn't have the linkage with Epstein wouldn't be necessary.
He wouldn't be good Fed chairman.
No, he's not. He's not tame enough and able to be told what to do.
He's not that. You know, he's not a public guy. You know, he's like a private enterprise, entrepreneurial type, if anything, even though he's big business. But I don't see him in the revolving door going in and out of government. Has he ever worked for government before?
I don't think so. No, he's always been in banking in the public sector, in the private sector. All right, two more quick notes here. Fat pays Eli Lilly third straight month of gains has helped it become the largest pharmaceutical company in the world by market value, surpassing Johnson & Johnson. 8.5% gain in May lifted its shares to a record high and pushed its market capitalization to about $408 billion. One of the things they have is this weight loss medicine. And news that his experimental treatment for Alzheimer's succeeded. The other thing I want to talk about.
What weight loss medicine?
They have, hang on, J&J weight loss medicine. J&J weight loss. Let's see. Here, what is it? Here, it's called Topamax.
Topamax?
Mm-hmm. It's experimental. So, but it's supposedly really good and all sorts of reasons why. Who the hell knows? But it's pushed them up pretty well. It's a weird thing why it's moving so much. The other thing was the Amazon Ring. You know that Amazon bought Ring, the camera company, the security company. You know, that was a, you know this, but that was a Shark Tank push.
Yeah.
And I think Mark Cuban or maybe Mr. Wonderful said, who the hell wants a camera on their driveway to see who cares?
Yeah, this is the reason these guys are so astute. That's why everyone watches the show.
I don't remember that's exactly who it was, but that's my recollection. Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened.
Amazon came in, bought it for $1 billion. And the rest is history. I have Ring. I had them in the days before Amazon bought them, and I thought it was a wonderful company. Well-run, unbelievable customer service. Now it's just as good. Just as good customer service. I mean, like, I'm on the phone with them. I'm like, look, I don't think this works. All right, let's take these steps. Let's do this. Okay. You know what? Let me send you a new one. Screw it. I'm like, okay. But Amazon.com's doorbell company has reached a settlement with the U.S. Federal Trade Commission regarding privacy. So as part of the agreement, Ring is paying $5.8 million. And the FTC said Rings gave employees unrestricted access to customer-sensitive video.
Yeah.
As a result of the dangerously overbroad access and lax attitude toward privacy and security, employees in third-party contracts were able to view, download, and transfer customer-sensitive video for their own purposes. Now, you know what that means, their own purposes.
Yeah, their own purposes could be a lot of different things.
Yeah, let's just think back to the back massager. So as part of the FTC agreement with Ring, which is good for 20 years, by the way, they're required to disclose to its customers how much access to their data the company and its contractors have. There were also stories like they would give away, say, hey, you want one? Put one in your bedroom. Let's put one in your bedroom. You know, you don't want it. When you're in the middle of the night, if somebody comes in your bedroom, at least you have a recording of it.
Schmuckos. Most people weren't doing that. They were just had it as a doorbell.
Yep, exactly. I got one right over the boat, a spotlight over the boat, and the tiki facing down, so I get the whole picture of the boat all the time.
Oh.
Anything moves in the water on the outskirts, up and down the dock, around, the light will come on, and we'll just start recording. It's just big spotlights on the boat. I had somebody on my boat one time.
Yeah, what were they doing there?
They were trying to steal the electronics.
Oh, but the Ring thing caught him?
Nope, that was before I had the Ring. What happened was I was out of town. There's all this noise in my backyard at 4:30 in the morning. My wife thought somehow I came back to go fishing. I'm like in Virginia somewhere, okay? And she heard all this talking. She didn't say anything. About 2 hours later, there's a knock on the back door. It's the police. Ma'am, there's been some people around here burglarizing. She goes, oh, I did hear some noise. They did get into my boat. They took out some of the screws, but that's all I got. Then they left. They weren't able to get my stuff out. So anyway. All right, let's head over to stock picking time, shall we? This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk. along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. What do you got? What do you got? What do you got?
Well, on this pile here, it just looks pretty good. One got something got bumped off Apple. I think you shorted it.
Yeah, it'd be better. It wouldn't be out right now. It just hit the top and got cut.
Hmm. And then the only other red we've got is AXS Short Innovation Daily ETF, which was it's convoluted, but it's only down 2%. It's no big deal. Everything else is in the green. The leading company on the list is your shoe company.
Yeah, Shoefly.
You and your shoes. Deckers Outdoor Corp. You did it again on that. Then everything else is a mixture of shorts and longs, and they're all up. Everything's up.
Up, up, up. Your target is doing well. That's short. It's just hanging in there, though. A lot of downgrades on that stock. A lot of downgrades recently.
Yeah, I think it's going to do well eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
I mean, as a short. Until the CEO gets fired, and then it'll go up.
I have one pick for this week. Now you're starting to make me think about another shoe company. But all right, we'll hold off on that one. I have one pick for this week, and it is a classic.
Yeah, you've done this before.
It seems to work, and it's way down from where it was. Way down.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, it sounds like a winner then.
This is
way down, and you're shorting it.
No, I'm going long.
Says short on here.
It does. I don't know where that came from. Changing it. There you go. Just change it. It's $117. Now, look, year to date, it's up a bit. Year to date, it's up 20% year to date. But 1 year, it's down 59%. 59%!
Yeah, it's a good product, too.
So this is the company that we do every summer because now we're entering into
every
that
summer, like clockwork.
Like clockwork. So we're entering into that. I bought this actually for clients today as well. I bought this myself as well today. So there you go. And it's a company called Generac. It's a publicly traded company that does generators. And each summer, people say, nah. But then all of a sudden a storm comes and like, oh my God, let me go out and buy myself a generator.
Yeah, they buy this. This is the main company that sells them.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm adding.
Well, I was looking around and I was trying to find some insider stuff, but I found one of my infamous triangle descending plays, which I like the looks of, called Clear, and it's pure stock. I mean, I'm sorry, pure chart play, mm-hmm. and it's called Clearway Energy. CWEN-A.
Oh,
CWEN-A.
CWEN?
Yeah, CWEN-A.
Nope.
It's a renewable energy.
Maybe, but yeah, is it trading at $3.90?
No, this one's trading at 20.
Wait, 30 bucks?
30, yeah.
Yeah, so 30. It's just CWEN.
I got it. For some reason, it shows up as CWEN-A, which I have no idea what that
usually
is.
Usually those are a different class. Oh, yeah, this is class C.
CWEN, maybe it's a class A stock.
Class A stock. Let's see what happens if I do that. This is class C, 30 bucks. It must be a class A out there somehow. Here, CWEN-A.
Yeah, okay.
CWEN, I think it's the same thing.
Well, I prefer the class A if I was going to trade anything.
CWEN.A. Let's see, dot A. Yeah. $29.26.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a dot A. Let's put that. You gotta sometimes search around for stuff.
Well, you got the gear.
I got the gear. There you go. It's in.
And that's all I got. I have.
All right. That's good enough for me. Well, let me say, bon voyage.
Oh, yeah. Have fun in Bimini.
Would you like me to tell you before we go? We have a contest on Thursday night. It's a dock party. Every boat decorates. Every boat provides an appetizer. Every boat provides a homemade drink of some sort.
And you're both.
I won last year. I won last year.
You won. You'll win again this year too. And you also, is that one of the bigger boats? That's that.
We have a 68, a 70, and 80. 68, 70, and 80, and a bunch of 40s, 45s, a few 30s and 20s. So there's about four big boats. There's a couple boats aren't staying with us; they're staying at the other hotel. But I won last year. A little bit unfair, I'll be honest with you, because we have like 20 people we drive, we take on our boat over there. So all those people are usually voting for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. You got 20 votes. Which you're buying votes. You're like a Southern politician. Southern politician.
I never vote for myself. I know that's crazy. People are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I just don't. I vote for somebody else. But anyway, last year I won.
Mistake you made.
Last year I won.
Yeah, well, you'll win again.
This year, you want to know what I'm making?
Yeah, well, you're going to tell us.
Yeah, I'm making a hack chicken bao bun. So I used a shredded chicken that I made. We heat up the bao buns. I bring on the boat my Chinese bamboo steamers. Bao buns. I got 150 bao buns. So we're going to start steaming those. Then I got chicken.
Did you make your own bao?
No. That I'm not doing. That's not happening. It's not happening. It's too much work. Everything I did already is too much work.
Yeah, well, it's too much work to enter the contest, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, so bao bun. So I took the chicken and I got this 18,
what are they gonna be? What?
18 ingredient or so. Sesame paste, you know, like a sesame
paste. Yeah, you have to have a nice tasty paste with the chicken.
Fermented tofu, soybeans, and dark soy sauce, light soy sauce, black vinegar.
Have you done this before?
I've done this sauce. I know the recipe very well because I've done it on cold sesame noodles. So that's all made already. A little bit thick. I got to water it down. Then on top of that, I did a pickled daikon and carrot julienne. On top of that, crunchy garlic, and then finish off with a little scallion.
What's the crunchy garlic? Fried?
It's fried garlic, yeah. Crunchy. Comes in a bottle, actually, at the Chinese place. Really good.
A bottle of dried garlic?
Yeah, it's great. Huh. Then for the drink, pina colada jello shots in syringes.
You have to syringe it into your mouth?
Yep. I got 150 syringes all filled and done already.
So they're already filled in. How big is the needle? It's got to be pretty big.
Well, it's all plastic. It's all plastic.
Not really. It's just a plastic thing.
Yeah.
And you squirt it.
Yeah, squirt it right in your mouth. Yep.
And you there's some way of checking to make sure it's actually what you're squirting, is it from this thing?
Well, it's just everybody gets their own syringe or the old plastic thing.
Okay. You get to take the syringe home. Does it got you have it print? Home. You have printing on the syringe.
I was gonna do that, but I was afraid everybody's just gonna throw them all over the docks, and I was gonna get in trouble for it.
Oh, then you're getting in trouble. Yeah, good thinking.
So anyway, all right, I'll take some pictures and send them to you.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, see you. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.